This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning into WRFL Lexington. It's 2 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Zoe Gabrielson, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, which is paid by all UK students along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. So today I'm joined by Shane Tedder, who is the director of the Office of Sustainability and also the advisor for the Student Sustainability Council, and he's going to give us an introduction to what the SSC is, how it works, and how you can get involved.
Hey,
so,
Zoe.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks.
This is the first Green Talks of the year, so I'm really excited to have you here with us.
It's the first one that you're officially hosting too,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is correct.
Man, what about these studios?
That's really cool. We're in the Student Center now, so anybody who's listening to WRFL, you might know that. You might not know that, but we are here. So,
if you've been listening to RFL for 30 years and you've ever been to the studio, oh wait, look. I was going to say there's no graffiti, but I just found a little bit of graffiti on a whiteboard wall. So it looks like they're trying to bring back some flavor. Sorry,
yes.
I'm derailing our conversation.
No, it's totally fine. This is Green Talk, so I'm happy to have you here because without you, we wouldn't have the SSC at all. So,
man, so I like that hereafter the SSC. It reads,
yes.
It reads kind of legal-like on that intro.
Yes, hereafter. Yeah, definitely. So everybody knows.
Yeah.
So first of all, for our listeners who might not be aware of what the SSC does, can you tell us a little bit about what it is and how it works?
So the SSC is going into their 10th year, so we need a big birthday cake this year. But without a doubt, has been the primary catalyst for sustainability-related initiatives on the University of Kentucky's campus over the last decade, period. So how they do it, we can go into, but what they do, they have changed the campus by really consciously, deliberately, and carefully stewarding the environmental stewardship fee and funding projects that have been proposed by the campus that have made a huge difference. And so, you know, things that we take for granted now, like outdoor recycling bins, and hang on, I'm just going to ask you what you need.
The binder.
Oh, you need the binder. Yeah. Okay.
So outdoor recycling bins, what are some other things on campus that students and graduate students, staff might have seen that has been funded by the SSC?
Yeah, so the outdoor recycling bins and the bottle filling stations are two that were the SSC was really foundational in making possible that are now commonplace and part of our construction standards. And so, you know, that's from grassroots student-funded projects to codified in how we build new buildings and maintain our outdoor spaces. So super exciting there. They were an early funder of the Wildcat Wheels Bicycle Library. So the bike library probably wouldn't have survived its early years without SSC funding. They funded the Dimensions of Political Ecology Conference, which is an internationally recognized student-organized conference hosted by graduate students on our campus every year for about the last 8 years, instrumental in funding that. They're one of the key funding partners in the Sustainability Challenge Grant Program, which is another transformative initiative on campus that really engages faculty. So the list goes on and on. I've been the staff advisor. This is my 10th year as a staff advisor for the organization, and I'm just thrilled to be here.
That's awesome. So you mentioned that we've been around for 10 years, and I'd love to know a little bit more about how this project got started, kind of how UK supported it, and then also if you could tell us about how much funding has been given out by the SSC so our listeners can have more of an idea of what kind of impact we've made.
Sure. The old studio never had these awesome headphones, so I'm having fun playing with the headphones here, too. How it started? Such a good question. Goes back way before 10 years, and there's some, like, spy stories and some just outright obstruction by former student government officials involved. Like,
it's a saga.
It's a saga.
Yeah.
It goes back probably 2004. There was a group of students who traveled to a conference in North Carolina and learned about the University of Tennessee's mandatory student fee supporting renewable energy. That group of students got inspired, said, man, UK, if Tennessee and North Carolina can do this, Kentucky can definitely do this. And they came back. At that time, the biggest student effort on campus was environmentally, sustainability really hadn't taken root as a word in the campus culture at that point. That came a couple of years later. So that group came back, super motivated to get something started. They drafted a resolution that could be voted on during a student government election. And then that resolution read something like, are you willing to pay $6 to $8 per year to support renewable energy at UK? And then to even get that on the ballot, they had to get 1,000 student signatures saying that, you know, they wanted to see that on the ballot. In the first 2 years, the first year, unnamed student government official lost the signatures. And so it didn't make it onto the ballot that year. Sidebar.
Was that something that was an accident?
No, I don't think so. He came forward about 3 years later and said he found him in his closet. He was a grad student at the time, and apparently his guilt finally overcame him, and he came forward and told me one time that he found the box of them in his closet. So the next year, they got it on the ballot. So I think in like the spring of 2006, it was on the ballot. And about 3,000 students voted in that student government election, and 2,000 of them voted yes for that particular resolution. So that provided like a little bit of a student mandate that this was something that was supported. And then from there, the students started working with, I think it was called the Student Affairs Committee of the Board of Trustees, because that's who kind of had oversight of the mandatory fee packages. And a couple of years and no traction at all, there was a vice president for student affairs who was just not into it, wouldn't move the ball on it, for probably some good reasons. I never really understood all the reasons behind it, but I think it had to do with affordability and not having new fees in place and some of those things. But eventually, it got a lot of support, made it all the way to the full board meeting in the spring of 2008. But in the full board meeting, in a relatively unprecedented move, it was called out by the staff rep at that time and a student rep, and they diverted the funds to, I think, extending W.T. Young library hours, because the library hours had been cut. I don't remember exactly why, but the library was closing at midnight, and so they diverted that quarter. I think it was, at that point it was a 75 cents per student per semester, and they diverted that to the library. So it didn't happen then. The president was surprised that it didn't happen, because he thought it was a done deal. And so he reached out and gave from his office the amount of money that the fee would have generated that year. And so the first year that there were funds available was the fall of 2008. And the president and the provost and at least one other administrator approached the students after that board meeting and said, hey, bring it back again next year. We'll get this done. And so it came back, went through due process, board looked at it again, and in the spring of 2009, it was approved as a mandatory student fee. And part of approving that as a mandatory student fee was creating the Student Sustainability Council to oversee how the funds would be spent. And then in the fall of 2009, the funds were established in an account that you guys have been using ever since. And last year, you spent your $1 millionth supporting sustainability initiatives on campus.
Wow, that's amazing. So over $1 million have been approved by the SSC, which is kind of incredible considering the number of projects that we've been able to get up off the ground that might not have been possible without that funding. So we've talked a little bit about the history of the SSC. And it is called the Student Sustainability Council. So is that because it is funded with fees by students and then allocated by the administration, or how does that work?
Yes, yeah, so it's funded by students and administered by students. And I guess the part that gets a little bit broader is that any member of the campus community can submit a proposal. So faculty, staff, or student can submit a funding proposal or a funding request. But it's 100% student funded and 100% student run. And so all the leadership positions, as you know, are student director positions. There are about 30 students serving on the council currently. Approximately half those are representative of student organizations, because we wanted the council to have broad student body representation. And then the other half are at large who have applied because of their interest in the topic.
Okay, that's awesome. So that's something that you would want for students to know, that they can get involved as an at-large member as early as their freshman year.
Yep.
And that if they're a member of one of the organizations that's involved, they would also have an opportunity to apply. So could you tell us a little bit more about the organizations that are currently members of the SSC?
For sure. We have had... It's kind of a rotating list. It's a dynamic list. People don't rotate on and off. Once you get on, as long as your representative attends and your organization stays in good standing of the attendance policies, you can stay on for as long as you want. And there's two different ways for an organization to be added. You can be added by basically self-nominating and submitting a request to the council that your organization be added. And you're added if you're voted on. I think you've got a probationary year where if you don't fill your seat that year, then your membership goes into basically you fail your probation and you get kicked off. But if you make it through your probationary year, then it's a little trickier to lose your spot. So you can do that, or a council member can nominate a group. So a group can nominate themselves, or a council member could say, hey, I know of a great student organization. I think having them represented here would really bring a new perspective to the table. It would give us more information relative to the impact of our projects and yada, yada. So the list right now, there's probably 12, and it ranges everything from the Social Enterprise Scholars, which is out of the Gatton School, I think in partnership with the Honors College, so that's a multi-college supported student org, to Stop Hunger, which is a hunger relief focused student organization. We have the Society of Women Engineers. WRFL has a seat. The Horticulture Club has a seat. Student Government has a seat. Engineers Without Borders has a seat. So, is someone knocking?
It's my sister.
Oh, okay. It's really throwing me off. So, about a dozen organizations. And then the other seats are filled with folks who are just at large and want to be a part of it.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can get involved with the SSC if you're just a member of the UK community when we come back from a little break. All right. Welcome back to Green Talks. I have been talking to Shane Tedder, who, as I mentioned before, is the advisor for the Student Sustainability Council. So we're just talking a little bit about how the council got started, what it looks like in terms of membership, but we're also going to talk a little bit about how you as a student or a staff member can get involved, because that's the whole point of the council, is giving a voice to students who are interested in sustainability. And then we're also going to talk about how you can apply for funding if that's something that you're interested in. So the council is composed of students, whether that's undergraduate and graduate, but funding is open to undergraduate and graduate people and as well as staff members. So Shane, you mentioned the application process is open to all students. So is that just for natural resources and environmental science or environmental and sustainability studies students, or is that something that's open to more majors?
Yeah, there's no discipline designations or restrictions. In different years, different majors are more heavily represented on the council, but there's no balance that's being struck and no preferential selection that goes into picking at-large members. But, you know, I think the two majors that you mentioned, ENS and NRES, are always really well represented on the council, and that makes sense. I mean, those are students who've decided that academically that's a focus of theirs. So it makes sense that they would be interested in facilitating cool projects on campus. So we see that, but our over the years and even currently, you know, everything from kinesiology to mechanical engineering to marketing,
which happens to be my major.
Hey, look at that. So yeah, it's all over the place, and that's, you know, that makes for great discussion, lively discussion. You know, I tell this group every year, and we just had our fall retreat, so it's kind of where I make my pitch that, you know, you're in the process of, or you're in the business of debating how student funds should be spent. That's not always going to be consensus based. There should be disagreements. There should be arguments. You know, we need that for a democratic process to work well. But what you don't need is people taking that personally or making it personal. And so having, you know, diversity of degrees represented brings a diversity of opinions, of background and of knowledge, and all of that gets borne out in the discussion of whether or not a given proposal meets the criteria of the council and needs to get student funding. So such an exciting group. I invite you to come to any meeting. If you're listening, our meetings are open to the public, and come in and watch. We often have, sorry, I was back too far, so you couldn't hear me. If you're out there listening and you want to come watch this happen, see how these funds get distributed, come into the meetings, which will be posted on our website, which I'm sure Zoe will tell us about in a little bit, is a great way to see it happen. We a lot of times have students show up who've seen that it's the Student Sustainability Council, and they think it's going to be more of a traditional student organization, and they show up and it's this very clean, well-organized process that revolves around distributing funds. And so for some people, that's super exciting. And for others, they're like, oh, I thought we were going to sit around and talk about cool sustainability stuff. But we do, but it's in a really structured format, and there's hundreds of thousands of dollars involved.
Yeah, I think that as a marketing major and a student in the College of Business and Economics, I was really surprised that there was something like the SSC on campus, because I didn't think it would be possible for me, even in my sophomore year, to start getting real experience with the distribution and decisions about how to use funds. And I think that a lot of Gatton students don't realize that this is an opportunity that is open to them. I know that Megan, there's another student on the council that's also in the business college, and she and I have talked a little bit about how that's helped our careers, and I think that that's a really good opportunity. So in addition to the diversity of the members of the council, can you tell us a little bit more about the diversity of the projects that have been proposed?
Wow, yeah. We have funded everything, you all have funded everything from like a stipend for a research study, which ended up being like, you know, a $300 proposal, all the way up to partnering with a physical plant to put $200,000 worth of solar panels on the Anderson building in the engineering quad. You funded research in East Africa on the Marshall Eagle. You've funded research in Central America on sustainable biofuels for cooking stoves. You've funded conferences. You have funded infrastructure projects like the recycling bins and the bottle filling stations. Just a really fantastic list of different projects that have been invented or that wouldn't have happened without SSC support. The Challenge Grant Program is another one. I mentioned that earlier in the show, but the Student Sustainability Council is one of four funding partners who create a $200,000 pool of funds that are designated, that go to interdisciplinary faculty-led teams that are, you know, bringing kind of a research angle or a, you know, a more instructional angle to addressing a sustainability related challenge. And so far there have been 27 of those projects funded, and the SSC has been a founding member of the funding organizations that make that possible. So it really, really runs the gambit from, minor $300 projects to $200,000, renewable energy installations.
Okay, that's really interesting. I remember when I was a freshman, one of the first things that I did and my first interaction with the SSC before I was an at-large member was applying for funding to be able to go to a B school in Kentucky. Yeah, that was my first one. And it was a couple $100s. I think it was maybe $300 or $400. And I remember being really nervous because I thought that was going to be too much money to ask for. Is that something that you would tell students that, you know, somewhere in that range? Do you know, like, an average for what the typical proposal might be?
Well, off the top of my head, I don't know an average. I would say my guess, and I'm going to look because it's in this awesome welcome report that we provide to all council members when they join. And I feel like this is a quiz and I'm failing. So if you know, throw it out there.
I can do it.
If you can find it quickly.
So
I'm going to guess that it's somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 is the average.
I want to say it's $1,083. I'm going to look.
Look at you.
I wrote the proposal. I wrote the welcome report last year, so I remember doing a lot of this. Oh, actually, it is $1,082 for the lowest amount requested. So that's the minimum. And then $33,333 was the highest amount requested. So that was, as you mentioned, with the challenge grant.
Yeah, so that's the range for that year. We've seen one even lower. There's not a minimum. And so, you know, if you just need $50 to attend a conference in Louisville to pay your registration and you think it would benefit students on campus, you can propose that. If you need $50,000 to do a stream restoration project at UK's Ecological Research and Education Center.
Eric. Yes.
You can do that too, which Phil Crowley just did. It wasn't quite $50,000. I think it was like $36,000.
Somewhere in that range.
So really no cutoffs there. It's kind of the imagination, you know, and also making sure that the project is going to fit. Maybe that's a good segue to talk about how you propose.
Yeah,
like
I think
how
that would
you
be.
Get money.
Yeah.
So the council meets twice a month, and the meetings are going to be held on the 1st and 3rd or 2nd and 4th.
I'm not sure, but I know it will be every other Tuesday, which will be from 7 until whenever the council concludes. And those are going to be starting on
September
11th. And so
second and fourth.
Yes.
Second and fourth Tuesday of the month is when the meetings are.
So we already had one meeting, which was really exciting. Like Shane mentioned, we went out to Robinson Forest and had a little bit of retreat for, as he was saying, we really care about having a lot of cohesiveness with the members of the council so that if ever there's a disagreement or a discussion, and this has happened before, that council members have those diverse backgrounds. And so sometimes people disagree, but that's what makes the council so great, because we do have that strong bond with each other that allows us to kind of get through those agreements or disagreements, whatever they might be. Also, I just calculated the average amount for the proposals last year. It was over $7,000. So no project is too big or too small. It's a really, really accessible way, especially because we are going to be changing the way that applications are submitted. So look out for that. It's going to be even easier than you might have thought before. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So we had a paper application. I think that's still what's available online. Mm-hmm. If you submit that, it's totally fine. We've moved that over to a web form. Pretty easy process. If you've got your project, you got a good idea about it, know what your budget is, you can probably do an application in an hour or two. And then you submit that. It has to be submitted 1 week prior to the meeting date that it's going to be voted on. So if you've got a meeting on September 11th, as long as you submit by September 4th, your proposal will be voted on at the September 11th meeting. If you submit after September 4th, then it gets bumped to the next meeting, which will be September 25th. And the directors will get together and look at all the proposals that are received, make sure they're complete, ask any follow-up questions that are needed, and then they'll send them along to the full membership, the full council, for review about 3 days before the meeting. And then at the meeting, you're asked to come make a 5 to 10 minute presentation about your project and then answer questions. And then after that, you're welcome to leave. You can stay. If you do stay, you only have to leave during the discussion portion of your project. And then after discussion has concluded, the council will vote. And if you vote no, if a council member votes no on a proposal, they have to provide the reason why they voted no. And then our director for transparency and accountability follows up with any proposal, or they follow up with all proposals. But if a proposal doesn't get a majority vote, then that director, Maya, will reach out and kind of synthesize all the reasons that she saw on the no votes and say, you know, these are the reasons that students felt uncomfortable funding this proposal at this time. And, you know, she may encourage them to reapply if they can address those issues. If it's approved, then she sends a letter that says, congratulations, you've been approved. You should be in contact with our advisor, Shane Tedder, as soon as possible to set up how the funds will be transferred. And we've got a lot of flexibility there. So if you're a student and this is the first time you've ever written a grant, you write it and it's successful, we're going to find a way to help you make the purchases or the investments that you want to make.
Okay, awesome. So with that in mind, when you mentioned that some projects are rejected, is that an end-all, be-all rejection, or is there a way to reapply for funding later on?
You can reapply. I think the project that we mentioned earlier that Phil proposed, I think it was the third time that it had come to the council.
So sometimes it just takes that perfecting.
Yeah, and he read the feedback and responded to it. He found some additional matching funds, which is, for big projects like that, it's always super helpful if the SSC sees that their funding is leveraging additional funds. He did a much better job of explaining the student impact. And I think the combination of those two changes that he made between the spring of 18 and the fall of 18 really led to a change of mind from the council relative to whether or not it was a wise investment of student dollars. And so we'll now have a really neat functioning stream ecosystem at ERIC that students from a range of disciplines will have the opportunity to interact with through independent research projects or through class assignments that utilize that facility.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're going to go to another break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about more SSC stuff. And so we'll see you soon. All right, so we are back and we're going to wrap up our interview with Shane Tedder by talking a little bit more about how you can find out more about the SSC. And then if you're interested, how you can apply. So we talked a little bit about what it looks like for applying for funding, but now if you're, you know, interested in an opportunity like this as a graduate or an undergraduate student, what it looks like to complete that application. So first of all, the URL for the Student Sustainability Council can be accessed through the website for the Office of Sustainability, which is www.uky.edu/sustainability. And then just clicking through to where it says Student Sustainability Council. So what are you going to find on that page? How can people find the application?
You'll find, so the website's changing. It'll be the same URL, but we've got a new website that'll launch, supposed to launch already. So hopefully ASAP. You'll find a Meet the Council section. You'll find information about how to apply. You'll find information about projects that we've funded in the past. And you can also review meeting minutes from previous meetings. So all the info that you'd need to see what a successful proposal has looked like in the past and to find out how to apply in the future. So I think if you're listening, we really hope you get two things out of this. One, we hope you know that there is a source of funds for sustainability-related projects on campus and that you should apply if you've got a good idea.
Okay, awesome. And if there's people that have more questions or they just want to find out more before they apply, in addition to coming to the meetings, which are open to the public, is there anybody that they can email or contact about that?
My door is always open. My phone is always on. It rings off the hook sometimes. And then the directors are available via a Gmail address, which is the UK Student Sustainability Council @gmail.com. You can email that. You can find that on the website as well. The other thing you may be wondering is, how do I join? I really want to be a part of this group and help oversee how these $200,000 are spent each year. So there's a couple ways to do that and a couple different times a year when that happens. In late October, we will have a midterm election to fill any at-large seats that come open. So that's not a guaranteed election, but for the last 3 years, we've had a midterm election and added two or three members who started their term with the spring semester.
So is that something that's available to freshmen?
Yeah, any first-year student through PhD candidate. There's no age restrictions or class designation restrictions on joining. We've got a couple students. Sophie may be the first. Sophie Bevan may be the first to have joined in her first year and served all 4 years of her undergrad career. We have a...
She's a
30. If she serves another year. But she was one of the first-year students to join. Did you join in your first year?
I joined in my second year. So I was a sophomore, but I completed the SSC summer internship the year before I joined. And so that was a really great experience. I enjoyed it immensely. Unfortunately, that program is no longer something that is available, but it's also great because we have a lot of information about the SSC and we're really excited to see where the years take us.
Yeah. So our big elections are in the spring semester. That's when we fill most of the seats. And so in February, our call for proposals for at-large seats goes out. It's also when we reach out to student organizations to ask them to designate their reps or to confirm they're going to have a seat and then designate the rep. So all that info will be on the website, which again is just uky.edu/sustainability/SSC. Zoe, thanks for having me on today.
Yes, thank you so much for being here with us. And you can make sure to hear more interviews on Green Talks every week from 2 to 2:30. And the rest of our show is going to be some music. So, Shane, thanks for coming. And I look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Congrats on your first show.
Thank you.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm. And, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.